we had, and I was listening even as of last night, I'm an Atlanta Braves baseball fan, and I couldn't watch the ball game last night. It was too nerve-wracking. It was whether they go to the World Series or not, and they were winning that one to the World Series. But I couldn't watch it because it tears me up. But anyway, I saw the aftermath. But anyway, they said that before the game, I was listening, they said that they had gone to, Atlanta had gone to the next level. It was interesting this past week that I kept hearing that over and over and over and over again. And it was, this team has taken it to the next level. And then I was sitting there, I heard it probably four or five times. And I looked again and said, I had heard that thing four or five times. And then on Wednesday, her machine broke. Her embroidery machine. Actually, we got it fixed, but it broke. And she said, I can't go to the next level. And I said, what is the next level? She said, about $5,000. I said, no, we're not going there. And when she said that, I said, that's my message. I've heard this too much. God speaks to me that way. He wants me to be on going to the next level. Six, 7 months ago, God spoke to me and said he wanted this church to be a greater discipling church. He wanted us to become stronger in our discipleship. And I believe that was what God was saying to take us to the next level. Most of our churches responded to become well-equipped in our training conferences, in our studies, in the worship and personal growth Bible studies and equipping packages we've handed out and the prayer walks that we've had. We've been preparing for the next level. The equipment is to make sure we step out in the right way and honor the Lord in our discipleship. There was a man, he was laying down to go to sleep, and he got a phone call, and he picked up his phone, and the police said, this is the county police, by the way, this is a true story. County police, do you know where your 10-year-old boy is? He said, in bed. He said, sir, he's at the police station. He said, I'll be there in a few minutes. He got in the car and drove down to the police station. When he got there, he found out his 10-year-old boy and some other boys had egged the schoolhouse. And then he looked at his son and he said, son, and he started talking to him and he came to this realization. His son was only caught because after they got through egging the school, they left. And he had cartons left over. And his parents had taught him, you never put cartons in a regular, you put them in the recycle bin. And so he turned around and went back to the school, and when he went back to the school, he turned in the recycle, and he was caught by the police because the recycle bin was next to the school. How many times are we, there's somebody coming, would you invite them? Invite them. Hi, how you doing? Good. Good to see you. Come join us. But this young child had been taught well by his parents. And his parents had given him a good training on, but he had followed one part of the training, but the other part he didn't follow. And so God is prepared. He's preparing us today. He's been preparing us to go to the next level. So many people never really get to the next level. I want us to look at the scriptures at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 through 25, And this is a scripture about going to the next level. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it wavers not. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day drawing nigh. Now, I want to just take that scripture and look at it a little closer. First of all, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance. Our theme this month is this: drawing into the presence and the power of God, or walking in the presence and the power of God. Now, I've got something out there on the market that says, need a miracle? Join us. The most miraculous thing that God does is when we walk in His presence, He transforms us. We're amazed at what He can do with us. That's a miracle. A lot of times we want money to fall out of the sky, or we want a job to fall out of the sky, or we want healing to fall out of the sky. And the miracle that God, His greatest miracle is that He can transform us. But it begins by letting us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. This is not metamorphosis. Some people think, I'll draw near to God gradually. You know, the more I'm with Christians, the more I'm here, the more I do, the more I read scripture, I'll be drawn almost metaphorically into the presence of God. It says, let us draw near to God. In essence, it is a deliberate attempt on my heart to draw close to God. I have to decide to draw close to God, and I have to step out. We are called to draw near, move from where we are to where God wants us. We move, first of all, the obstacles that keep us from getting to where we need to be. I saw a movie this past week, and it was a Romanian movie that was dubbed in English, and it was about a couple who went up in the mountains in Romania. They were hiking in the middle of the winter, and a boulder had fallen down into the valley that they had walked, and they couldn't get around the boulder. They were locked in. And then there was avalanches. And they cried out through their phones for help. There was a group that came in and could triangulate their position by their phones and found out they were buried almost 20 feet below ice. They never got out. They never found out. Yes, when the spring came and thawed, that they did. But the whole point was there was a boulder that was keeping them from getting to where they needed to go. We individually have boulders that get in our way of where God wants us to go. So the first thing that we do when we draw near to God is we move out of the way the things that get in our way. And sometimes those are hard things to do, what we are called to do. Then we focus on the object of our moving. When we focus on God, we get our eyes on God, we will be drawn close to Him. And then the last one, we set in motion that which will lead us into His presence. And I believe next steps here are what it takes. Notice number two, but notice how we approach the Lord. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. In essence, it's speaking about the purity of our soul, the washing of our soul, the washing of our inner man, having the body of this, of who I am, made pure. Evil conscience is a manipulative conscience. I come to appease an angry God, or I come because I am guilty from sin, or I come because I am manipulated in teaching and preaching. That is not how we come. We come with a pure heart, not a heart that is manipulated. Let me say it a different way. I come with a heart that is truly to seek God. I don't come with a heart that I'm just trying to appease a bad conscience. Some people come to church only because they have a bad conscience. Some people come to church because they only feel like I've got to. This is a requirement. God blessed me, so now I've got to bless God with my life. We come because with a pure heart, a heart that is pure, with one intent, and that is to be closer to God. The third thing is unswerving, come with unswerving hope. My hope is solid. It is not vacillating. It is not fluid. Hope is not based on my circumstance, but hope is based on an unchanging God. I am built up on this through the Word of God. Listen, when I read, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not fall. They shall run and not stumble. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. With long life, I will satisfy them, he says, and show them my salvation. Or maybe you just read and quote this scripture. It's next, on the next slide. Put it up there. I want you to quote it with me. Everybody, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Anybody out there?
Amen.
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 Why do I say amen? What does amen mean? Done. Absolutely. Completely. There is nothing more you need than that scripture and the other scriptures we read to stand in hope. And I know people say, well, you don't know my circumstance. I heard yesterday, and I know this happens, the quarterback at Wake Forest is like really outstanding. Obviously, yesterday's scored 70 points. You don't score 70 points if you're not a good quarterback. But he grew up in the shadow of his adopted brother. One black, but they considered themselves completely brothers. His older brother went to play college football at Elon. And later he would go to Wake Forest. But his brother, when he went to Elon, was seen to be happy. And then one day he didn't show up for practice. By the way, this was on ESPN yesterday. You could go online and see this story. He didn't show up for practice. They tried to find the young man, but couldn't find him. And his mother, his daughter, jumped in the car and went out searching for him. She got on the phone and got him on the phone and said, come on home. Forget football, forget college, forget everything. Just come on home and we'll love you and whatever you're struggling with, just come on home. She says, you know I love you. And he said, yes, I know. They later found the young man, he had taken his own life. She said, I don't understand. I don't understand how in one moment he can be so up in the next moment and he can be down and within a few hours he's dead. I don't understand that. When someone loses hope, and that's losing hope, they see no reason to live. I say to you, you must be careful. Because when you least expect it, a moment of lost hope can come and you can be caught up with it like a whirlwind in it, and it can take you down. And at that moment, we must have rehearsed the Lord. It is my shepherd. I shall lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We all here are going to face moments when we lose hope or we are in moments of desperation. Now, I say that to say, you would look at me and say, but you're a Christian. Yes, but even Christians are human. They find themselves caught in a whirlwind of stuff going on around them. We've got to be careful, Christians. We've got to stand in the Word of God, because if we do, we stand in hope that will see us through everything. Because you see, hope is not vacillating. It's not fluid. It stands in the middle of a whirlwind. It stands on a raging sea. And it stands in the moments of calm. And that's the kind of unswerving hope it's talking about. We need that. Fourth, we come to the Lord. And as we do, we consider others. How to provoke them to love and good works. And by the way, here the word provoke is not the kind of provoke that your parents do, and parent looks at the child and says, you're provoking me. That's not the type of provoking. It means to generate with great love unto good works. It means to show such power of love with passion that we do not give up on our people. Come home. Come home. Come and I will bear you up. I think sometimes, and here, listen to me. When we come into the presence of God, we have a passion for each other in the church and other Christians and those outside.
We have a passion for what you're going through. We have a passion for you. And we want to provoke you to good love and good works.
We don't give up on you. It doesn't become overwhelming. Where did you learn to be a giver? Was it your mother? Was she a good giver? Your grandmother? Or an aunt? I'm saying women, because women are a little bit more giving sometimes than they are. But where did you learn to be a giver? You learned it from somebody. You didn't just become a giver. And so, how do we consider others? If we learn it, we learn from each other. And I believe the place that we learn to give, and the place that we learn what it means to be giving, is this, in the church. I'm sorry, I know there's some disagree with me, but I don't think you get it outside the church. Even if you're a Christian, you say, but I've got Christian friends. But there is something special God made of the church to be that place where you learn to approach each other and encourage each other and consider each other and learn from each other and grow from each other. The next part is number 5, assembling ourselves together. Galatians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul said, I wish I could be with you. In Romans 1:11, it says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you spiritual gifts, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, when I read that, I realized, I want my family to come together for Thanksgiving. They're spread all over out there, everywhere, as your families probably are. And we're trying to figure out how we can get together. Now, if you said, well, your family can do FaceTime. You know, I mean, they'll sit around with the turkey and go from one family to the other on FaceTime and just have a good time with family. Oh, look, there's cousin so-and-so. Yay. How y'all doing? Good. Achieve. Good. Okay. Have a good day. Go to the next person. Who's having turkey today? Yay. We've had 4 families on FaceTime that are having turkey. Let me tell you something. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I am a pastor. I am called to encourage. I know some people might not like it, but I am called to encourage you to come together. Not as some people do, but I encourage you to come together. Why? Because Paul said, here's where the spiritual gifts are doing. Here's where we learn from each other. Here is where, when I'm in your presence, I feel something. Did you know that? When my family comes together at Thanksgiving, we act different than we would do on Facebook. Because you know what Facebook is. Facebook, your family come together, we're getting ready to be on Facebook. You sit here, and I'll sit right here. Straighten up your shirt. Okay, all right, here we go. Hi! We're doing fine. It's a put-on. It's a show. When you come together as a family, you get into the real stuff. Why didn't you tell that boss to leave you alone? I want to talk to you about that. And men go outside. Some of them program football and then they sit there and talk. And the women go in the kitchen.
should be alive. There is something when we come together that Paul says it is supplying one another with spiritual gifts.
And then last, number 6, this term is a Greek basically meaning greatly influencing and encouraging. And this cannot be accomplished, exhorting each other cannot be accomplished, by just texting. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Charlie told me, don't come over here, it's too far. I'm almost to the beach. Well, you just talk to me on the phone. No, I'll talk to you on the phone. You need to come see. There's something different about sitting in front of somebody and feeling. And I don't want to go here because the spiritual energy between the two of you that bonds you together and builds love. Share it. When you came through these doors with your husband and son, and you became acquainted with people, could you have done that through texting? Could you have done it through Facebook? These are the things God says that we need to do to draw into His presence. I still have a little time on the last part of the meeting. It's important. But I want to say to you, as a body of Christ, we have several families not here this morning. I want to say to you that whenever somebody is not there, we ought to be missing something. I'll tell you. My sister said she can't come already to our get together because she's going to Minnesota where her daughter is spending the year. We're going to miss it. What does Paula, my sister, and brother, what do they bring to the table? Number one, Paula makes the best vegetables you have ever tasted in your entire life. You talk about, we're not going to have good vegetables. Not like she does. She lives on a farm. She has fresh vegetables. She knows field peas. You all, if you haven't tasted her field peas. Let me tell you something else about Paula. Paula loves to play games. She's our game master in our household. Whenever we get together after we've eaten and we're sitting around, she'll say, why don't we play this game? And we'll go to play the game. Paula probably is one of the more compassionate of the family. That's just one person. But when she's gone, you know how much is gone? You know how much is missing? And I almost cried. She's not looking there. How much more should a church, when someone is not there, weep over that person not here? And go to them and say, man, we love you. What can you do? We really do. I'll tell you something. Allison, the children this morning, we had one. How many of you remember a couple Sundays ago when we had had a couple more of occasions here. We had close to 9 or 10 or something like that.
Do you know the difference in our whole church atmosphere when the nine are here? There's a vibrancy and a liveness. I get up in the mornings, and I, as an old man, getting up in the mornings is hard. But when I get up in the morning and I hear this little girl come in my front door, "Pop! Pop, where are you? Get up! Pop, come here!" I'm alive. The church, what this is saying, you want to come into the presence of God as a church, then you need to see each other as a part of the presence of God. Whenever I am with the body, I'm in the presence of God. Whenever I get closer to you, I get closer to God. And whenever you're missing, a part of something of God is missing. Sometimes we take it for granted. People, things alone. But if we want to, as a church, and you individually want to go to the next level, and He's given us His plan, step into it with unswerving hope, and then go out and consider others. Desperately consider others, and then exhorting each other, and sending together. This church is the presence of Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you know that? Yeah. Church is the presence of God. And we want it to continue that way. This week, I hope that you will be built up in the unswerving hope of Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray that if you haven't yet been washed and sprinkled from an evil conscience, a conscience that will not let you alone, and let God cleanse you of that, and come with a sincere heart, with the assurance of faith this morning. I want you to know that Christ will not only save you, He will lift you up into His presence, and you will walk on the next level. Because you have chosen. That this church would also choose to walk in the next level. Let us pray. Father, help us to take a step up. Help us to move into your presence as you have taught us how. And then draw all our Christian brothers and sisters together in Christ Jesus our Lord, to be together, to fellowship together, to minister together, to worship together, that we might be more strong by it. For it's in the name.